And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And if you've caught any of the recent shows, we've been talking about buying, fixing up, renting out special houses like hoarder houses and old houses, little niche things you can seek as a real estate investor. Those are great opportunities to create cash flow and build wealth. And you've been listening, you heard the shows, you're all in. Let's do it. But wait a minute. How do I actually go out and renovate one of those? Who's going to help me haul off that trash? Who's going to help me with my taxes on those once we've got them rented and figure out depreciation at the end of the year? You know, we don't pay taxes on our cash flow if you're doing it right, thanks to that very paper expense. Where do I get insurance? Who do I find lending? Where do I find lending to help me with the process? A realtor, etc. I'll tell you what, how about we work on building that team first? There are a lot of people that you're going to need around you in this business. So on today's show, let's talk about sourcing and vetting and maintaining relationships with all those vendors that we need for all parts of our new rental real estate business. What kind of vendors do I mean? Anything that you need to operate your real estate business. Now, if you're following the Lifestyles model, maybe you caught the earlier shows, what are we doing? We're going out and buying distressed assets. That can be houses, that can also be apartments. They're distressed, sometimes physically, and therefore we're going in and renovating those, stabilizing those, getting them rented, refinancing, and doing it again and again and again. Therefore, you do want a strong team around you. And vendor-wise, that can be realtors and wholesalers to help you find those distressed opportunities, among other ways, of course. You know, we talked about a few other lead types on those earlier shows. If you missed any of those shows, you can go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab. Those are archived there. So realtors, wholesalers, leasing agents to get it rented, lenders and mortgage brokers to help with the financing. These are your biggest partners, really, in these deals. Insurance brokers, inspectors, appraisers, surveyors, CPAs, bookkeepers, attorneys, 1031 exchange agents, tax protest companies, all the trades that you need to renovate. General contractor, foundation company, HVAC, roofer, plumber, electrician, and then you're in the hold period. You got that renter in place, you're going to need a handyman, pest control perhaps, tree companies, that HVAC guy again for that seasonal service if you're in Texas. Ooh, you know what I'm talking about. Lots of things beyond those that you might not even think about at the outset. Fence repair or replacement, drainage, gutters, a mason, and many, many, many more. Ooh, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? That sounds like a lot. But you know, it's like dominoes. You set up those rows of dominoes and you give that first one a push. And really, once you get this vendor sourcing process in motion, a lot of these will just fall into place. You learn how to find one, you're going to find the other trade and the other trade after that. And I'll tell you, I've been investing in houses around DFW and now down by Houston as well for a decade now. And I have a lot of tips on today's show. And I can tell you, I have used all of these at one time or another and continue to do so. So a lot of tips. If you do miss anything during the course of the show, again, go to that website I just gave you, lifestylesunlimited.com, because this show will be archived there as well. Now, just a footnote. Your approach to this business as a whole maybe a little bit different if you are investing locally. And when I say locally, if you're new to the show, I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth, and most of our portfolio of houses are here in the DFW area, some as far as an hour drive away across the Metroplex and so on. That's locally for me. Compare that to investing long distance. for me now, Houston, that may even be across state lines. We have a lot of investors, for example, from California that are looking to invest out of state because it does not make sense where they sit. So they come to places like Texas, and I'm starting to look across borders as well. So I've thought a lot about this, and I will try to weave in some comments separately throughout the show for that long distance investor. And I do think it's worth mentioning for the long distance investor, if you plan to do a lot of buying in a targeted area, let's say you are in California and you are targeting Arlington, Texas, or for me, I was looking at Macon, Georgia. You know, it may be worth a trip early on in your process to that area to scope it out, where the good areas, where the bad areas. Try to find those other area investors and get to know them early on. And if you can do a little bit of that legwork up front online, perhaps in advance, meet as much of your potential team as you can. A lot of this can be done online and over the phone, of course, but a trip here and there may be worth your time. Live where you want, invest where you want, maybe take the occasional trip there as needed. It is a business expense. You can write that off. Now, if you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, obviously we do have the vendor program. You know what I'm talking about. That's online, and you can access a lot of those vendors that I just shot through that big list. You can find those online and read the comments and the recommendations, the notes and whatnot from other members. But if you're not a member, and by the way, why aren't you? I guess that's a question. Why aren't you? Go to same website, lifestylesunlimited.com. There's a little yellow button that says free workshop. Go attend that. It's an hour and a half of your time fully online. Learn what we do. On today's program, we're talking about finding those vendors, sourcing those vendors that you need to build your real estate empire, sourcing them, vetting them, and maintaining those relationships. Very important. You find a good contractor, you want to keep them happy, and you want to keep them around. We'll get to that towards the end of the program. Let's start with finding those vendors. That's a question I get a lot. I see a lot of people asking out in the broader world, in the groups that I go to and with people I talk with. And my favorite place, the best place, your most important resource, in my view, is your network. Why? Well, you know the people in your network. You know who you can trust. You know, you should know who can give you good recommendations and who may not. And you may be thinking, my network. Okay, friends and family. Maybe, but maybe not. You know, do your friends and family have the same eye as you do, or as you will if you're just getting started, for real estate investing? Do they know those vendors that are what I would call more wholesale? What they're probably giving you are what I'll call retail type recommendations. What is retail versus wholesale? That retail vendor, boy, they're going into those occupied houses. Occupied houses take a lot more work because there's stuff to move. They're doing higher end work, perhaps, compared to the vendors that we send a lot of business to. Think of that more as wholesale. They're doing a lot of work for us, a lot of volume, and most typically in vacant houses. They don't have to move stuff around. They can get in and out very, very quickly, and that helps reduce the price. So your friends and family, typically, they know those retail guys because they've had them come work on their house. They love you. They want to help you out. They see what you're doing, but weigh that very carefully. Other investors in your network, this is what I'm thinking about. Again, know who that investor is. Are they operating in the same way you like to operate? Do you trust them? Have you seen their product? Have you seen what their vendors are doing for them? And I keep a very short list of my very close investor buddies that I start with when I need something, a vendor, whatever. We reach out to each other all the time. That may be by way of text or email, the occasional call, we get together for lunch or whatever. Beyond that, a broader mailing list or a listserv type group where maybe you send that email and it goes out to a big mass of folks. Again, here, I don't always know who's replying to me, so I want to vet that. And if you don't have a network like what I'm describing, what do you do? What do you do? Well, you got to build it. You got to get out to investor gatherings. And if you are doing this long distance, well, you're going to have to build that network in your target area. And like I said, that may warrant a trip out to that location from time to time. It's worth your while, especially if you plan to build a large portfolio in, say, I don't know, Macon, Georgia, around Nashville, Tennessee somewhere. Take that trip. Have some fun while you're there. So network is important here. I'm thinking in particular about my investor network. But akin to that, I also now have built over a decade a network of contractors. And I will tell you, if you talk to your current contractors, for example, my electrician a while back referred me a wonderful handyman and a wonderful plumber and a wonderful roofer. How does he know these folks? Well, he's out on other jobs for other investors working. They're working alongside each other. They may bump into each other as one's coming to do their trim out or whatever. And they see each other and they know who's working hard and they know who's doing great work. So talk to your contractors, whether that electrician, he's going to know those other people in those other trades. Now, if you don't have that network built up yet, again, see prior comments, start to build your network of investors, a great, great resource. Now, we've talked about on the show a lot, getting involved with one of your area industry or trade groups that are focused on real estate investing. Here in Dallas, I've been a member since 2013 of the Apartment Association of Greater Dallas, and they have a vendor list. Sure, a lot of those guys are targeting the apartment industry, but a lot of them will also work on houses. I've got a great flooring guy that goes in and does turns on apartments all day long. And when I pop up from time to time, like a little groundhog popping out of the ground, say, hey, look at me over here. I have a house for you. He's happy to help me out. We send him volume over the years. So look for some of those trade associations. Again, Apartment Association of Greater Dallas here on the east side of the airport, on the west side of the airport, you have the Apartment Association of Tarrant County. If you're down in Corpus Christi, you've got an apartment association there. Yeah, Corpus Christi does. So go ahead and join those. And you'll build that investor network as well, by the way. Now, one thing I've started looking at, because we are operating in some smaller, farther flung locations, is going out to the Chamber of Commerce, especially in smaller towns. A lot of them will have a Chamber of Commerce. The list of vendors won't be very long. It's a smaller area. Or maybe other economic development corporations, right? We've been looking at apartments outside of the main DFW area. And a lot of these smaller towns and communities do have these things. And that's the first place I go. Ask questions about the development, what's going on growth-wise. But hey, by the way, who's your go-to lady or sir on the phone? And while I'm at it, if I'm out in that town, I'm going to go down to the local hardware store, or even here in town, Sherwin-Williams, any of the paint stores. There are usually cork boards or bulletin boards somewhere towards the back of the store, maybe not immediately visible when you walk in, but they're there. And that's where painters or other vendors usually, they leave their cards, right? We'll talk about vetting these people here in just a minute, but this is where you go to start to build that list that you'll then work through. Who else has a very good list? Realtors and wholesalers. Realtors, they have a lot of vendor contacts to help their clients that they're going to be listing that house for sale with. They have a lot of vendor contacts to help spruce up those listings. Now, again, be careful. These may be retail or higher dollar vendors. Ideally, you find those realtors that also work with a lot of investors and maybe that are investors themselves. They're going to have those more preferred wholesale type vendors if I'm thinking about the trades. And this is a tremendous resource for you if you are the long distance investor. I saw a listing online not too long ago up in Northeast Missouri and just called a random realtor. Turns out she works with a lot of investors in that area. Boom, I found somebody right there. She's going to have those connections. And I mentioned wholesalers. Look, you want to be on their list anyhow to get those house leads. And a lot of them hold some of their properties here and there as rentals themselves. They may do flips, so they've got connections as well. And they want to help you with your business because they want to sell you a house. So go talk to them. Who are you using, Mr. Wholesaler? And of course, as a veteran networker, I really encourage you, and I love getting out to the real estate investor events. And there will be booths there at a lot of these events with vendors that are hosting booths, giving away swag, and of course, a lot of attendees. Talk to both. You know, that attendee that's looking at that roofer's table, hey, what you looking for? What's going on? Do you have a roofer you've been using? Do you have an electrician that you might refer me to? And I've talked about this a lot. It's good to set goals going into any networking or REI event so you don't just wander around aimlessly drinking the adult beverages, picking up swag here and there for your kids. Set goals for that event, meeting people, etc. And that may include goals around today, I want to find a new fill in the blank plumber, a new HVAC tech, a new electrician, a new roofer, a new lender. Set those goals and come away with those contacts. I'll tell you one great place to do that when we come back from the break, so stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Stop waiting. Stop sitting around. Stop procrastinating. This is your time. Make it happen. Do it now. When's the best time? Now. People go, well, I don't know. It's gonna crash. It's gonna be better next year. I've gotta listen to four more classes. I love guys come up to me all the time. You know, I've been listening to you on the radio for 8 years now, right? I go, and you're not rich yet? Well, really, I'm thinking about joining next month. Do it now.
Learn the skills you need to retire with real estate in 5 years or less. Do it now. Register for the Lifestyles Unlimited free online workshop, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have questions for me, send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. Again, that is askandy@luinc.com. And on today's show, we're talking about sourcing vendors for your real estate business. And this can be anything from the trades that help you with the renovations to those accountants and CPAs that help you file your taxes, lenders that give you the money, insurance brokers that cover your product, insure it, everything you need. You got to find them. And if you're just starting out, that's the biggest challenge. You got to start to build that team. How do you do that? We talked already in the prior couple of segments about what I would call the more traditional approach, maybe the more hands-on or things that people did before the internet, right? Before we had a lot of these groups online. We're going to wrap that up, and then I want to shift gears and talk about some of the opportunity that you do have to build your team online. And I was just telling you ahead of the break about just getting out to real estate investor networking groups and events. There are a lot of them out there. I'll tell you in a minute, part of the online discussion, how to find those, perhaps, if you don't know. But there are a lot out there. Talk to one investor, you're going to learn about a couple. Go to one of those. Talk to investors there. You're going to hear about more, and you're going to learn about some of those vendors. And I'll tell you, Lifestyles Unlimited does case studies. Here in Dallas, for example, where I am, those are going to be live in the offices, as well as online. You can watch those online on Facebook if you follow us there, or on YouTube if you subscribe to our YouTube channel. But I love to go in to the case studies in person because I often do have a question for Phil. Phil has a lot of stuff over in Tarrant County. I remember talking to him about clay pipes. We talked about this on yesterday's show. Sewer lines. Hey, do you have a good plumber? I just bought a house in that same area where you've been investing. Do you have a good plumber that can take care of those sewer lines for me? Because I know they're collapsing already. I want to get that done before I move anybody in. Great place to go. Case studies. I know that the members at Lifestyles Unlimited are on the same map as I am. We're all doing the same thing. So I know when I talk to these guys that we all have a similar vision. And by the way, I'm excited because I'm going to be heading out to the coming case study, not here in Dallas, Fort Worth, but in Austin, Texas. We're going to be down there with the in-laws next week. It's going to be Thursday, July 21st. It's an in-person event only. This one is not online. So, hey, if you're in the Austin area, I hope you can make it as well. I'm looking forward to connecting with people there. And thinking about Lifestyles Unlimited events, and this is going to transition us more to that online space. If you are doing long-distance investing, and you are a Lifestyles Unlimited member, be sure to connect with our ambassadors that are local to those areas that you're looking at. For example, if I want to go up to Indianapolis, I'm gonna reach out to Randy, who's an ambassador up there. He was on the program with me just a few months ago. And I'm gonna see, hey, Randy, who can you connect me with? And let those dominoes start to fall. Talk with those ambassadors. Get out to the expo. We're going to have that coming up very early in the year next year. big place to talk with a ton of investors. And of course, any other Lifestyles Unlimited online networking, a lot of Zoom calls still. Those are starting to taper off as we've gotten farther and farther away from the pandemic, but it's a good place to go. And in the chat box, perhaps just ask the question, hey, I'm looking for vendor X in this market where you appear to be sitting. So that gets us into those more online spaces. And again, groups that are still meeting virtually, how do you find those? I'll go to a website called meetup.com. Meetup.com, that's where people pay to host a meetup, essentially. So keep in mind, people are paying to do this thing. So they may have an ulterior motive. Be careful, because some of them, I've been to them, they're just massive sales pitches. What I do now is look for the ones that have a large attendee count. You know, if you look at the bottom, you can see how many people have signed up to go. Those are probably more value to me. So if I'm looking afar, long distance, Macon, Georgia, let's say, I'm going to go out and see what sort of meetup groups are getting together there, and are they virtual? Can I do that from where I sit here? I'm part of a mastermind group in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for landlords that is 100% virtual, right? So everything's online. Doesn't matter if I'm bumping around the country in the RV bunker, I can always make that meeting and ask my questions about vendors as needed. Now, here's a big one. You may hate social media, but I'll tell you, if you want to build out this business, Facebook groups is a big one. And in fact, you may know him, Chris Wyatt, formerly one of our single family mentors. He's now part of our two-day financial freedom seminar presenter team, one of our life changers. And he's going to be doing a class, in fact, July 26, how to use social media to build your team for single family investors. Now, I don't know the details of the presentation, but I have signed up. I have signed up because I'm going to attend. I always want to improve my game. So I'm going to see what he has to say there. But I'll tell you, I'm a member in, I don't know, easily a dozen or so groups just here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I've printed out, I got into my account and just printed out the first page of those groups, and there's probably 10 right here. DFW Residential Real Estate Investing, 2,000 some odd members. Real Estate Investor Networking Group, 168,000. I think this is national. DFW Real Estate Investment, 44,000 members. Off-Market Real Estate for Sale, DFW, 21,000. You see where I'm going. There are a lot of these groups with a lot of members. And a lot of them are going to be doing what you want to do or what you are doing. Good place to go. Again, be careful, right? You don't know what people are referring. You may not know these people that are doing the referring. So then it becomes very important to vet. And also be careful when you post in those groups, hey, I'm looking for fill in the blank trade. I want to get referrals from other investors, but 9 of the 10 referrals that I get are going to be from those trades themselves. So take that with a grain of salt, figure out how you want to handle that. Now, sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, smaller communities. I'll go to Google Maps and I'll type in plumber, you know, down towards Houston. We're in a little bit smaller community. Need to find a fence guy. Typed in fence guy or something like that. Found a couple of guys. Some had good reviews. Some didn't. Bam. Had a conversation. Done. As easy as that. I've used one called Thumbtack. Thumbtack. And it's basically you create an account. It's free. And you find out what class of project you have, putting in that fence, let's say, and you just describe the job, maybe put up some pictures, and you get bids online. Again, here, I'm going to vet, and I can see the reviews from other people. Good place to go for that, for those odd jobs. I'm not going to go to find my staple trades there necessarily, but for some of those odd jobs that do pop up from time to time, it's a good place to go. Lots of options there. Lots of places to go to start to source your vendor teams. Again, my very favorite is my fellow investors. If you don't have those fellow investors, then start to work on building that network as well. Now you start to get those recommendations. Very, very important next step. Sourcing, now vetting. If you're part of the Lifestyles Unlimited group, if you're a member, like I said, you do have access to the vendor program. Log in there. And there you can check ratings and reviews left by other members. Just like I mentioned on Google Maps or whatever map source you may be using, you can often see what other users of that service have left in terms of reviews. Good place to start. Ideally, again, talk to other investors independently. Right? If you have a close network, ask if, hey, I got a lead on this electrician here. Dan, Kathy, David, Amy, have you guys used this guy? If they're prolific investors, and a lot of these people that we're connected with are, they may have. So ask, hey, have you used this guy or gal, this company? And then, of course, if no one has a good answer for you, get references. Say, hey, vendor, I'm interested in your business. I need to get some references, recent jobs completed, investors you've worked with, contact those references. It will take a little bit of legwork. And if you're in the area, hey, be so bold as to ask, hey, this was a recent job, right? Is the rental house still vacant? Can I see? Can I come out and meet with you just briefly? I'd like to get to know you better. I'd like to be able to help you in the future. Can I maybe come and see the work this gentleman or this company has done? I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have questions, email me at askandy@luinc.com. Our website, lifestylesunlimited.com, I've referenced that a few times. You can go out there if you missed any part of the earlier show and catch that archive there, as well as all our other shows from all our other hosts. And we're talking today about sourcing vendors, all vendor types, for your real estate business, vetting those. That's what we're on now. And then we're going to talk about protecting yourself as you begin to work with these people. Going back to vetting, we hit a number of points in the prior segment. You know, we were talking about reviews in various places. The last place I want to mention are those Facebook groups. Again, I told you that's a good place to go to see what, talk with other people, ask the question, who are you using for fill in the blank? And you can also ask, hey, I'm looking at using vendor fill in the blank. See if there are any positive or if there's any positive or negative feedback in some of those local groups. There's a search bar. You can just type in the name of that company, perhaps, and see if anything comes up. Another thing I like to look at, if it is a trade that needs to be licensed, do they have the proper licenses? Master Plumber, for example. Here in Texas, by the way, there is no license to be a general contractor. That is not a requirement. That may be in other states, so you can look at that. Hey, can I see your license, Mr. GC? Parallel to licensing is insurance. Now, not all trades that we've talked about today, I'm not going to ask them about, are they properly insured? Do you have E&O and that sort of thing necessarily? But if it's a tree guy, for example, that's going to be out taking down that gigantic maple in the front yard of my rental property that finally has to go and is hanging over the property over there and hanging over the house over there, over my neighbor's cars, I want to make sure they have proper insurance. Liability coverage. What happens if they cut that big limb and it lands on my neighbor's house and the car? I don't want to be held liable. So make sure they have proper coverage. That is part of the vetting process. Do not be afraid to ask. I've done this in the past. It's a quick email for most of them. They just reach out to their insurance agent. That agent sends that your way. So you've sourced these folks through various networks, various avenues. You've done your vetting up front. You still need to protect yourself. And if you're just getting started and you don't know who you want to use as a general contractor, for example, talk to several. Get multiple bids. At a minimum, we say get three. When you're getting started and you don't know how things are priced out and that sort of thing, that's the best way to start to get a feel for the cost of a particular job. Get multiple bids. And a big, big, by the way, the lowest price is not always the best one to go with. Keep that in mind. Somewhere in the middle may be the better place. But a big, 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 big part of this game is clear communication. So when it comes to protecting yourself, it's being clear in what you need and setting expectations. And this is true, really, for both sides. Up front, sometimes there may be language barriers. Depends on who we're talking about here. And when it comes to developing and setting expectations from your side, if you are an investor that has perhaps just completed the renovations on a rental house that's still vacant, let's say, take them out there if they have the time. Show them the property. This is what I'm trying to do. I want to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Wash, rinse, repeat. Maybe just send them pictures if that's a little bit more expedient for everybody. Time is money. They may not have the time to come out there. Or if you're connected with a good investor that has been doing this for a while and can share some of their pictures, David Fisher will tell you at the 2-day Financial Freedom Seminar, just look at my jobs. Tell people this is what you need to be doing. Send them those pictures. This is what I need. Set expectations. And expectations can also include timelines. It's very important to communicate. How quickly will this be done? Set timelines. If you need to put a contract into place, that won't apply for every vendor or trade necessarily. Contracts protect you. Talk with your attorney. Get clear bids, by the way, going back to the multiple bids that are clear and detailed. Renovate kitchen. What What does that include? I've seen bids that just say renovate kitchen. Well, are you putting in a new sink? What are we doing there? I want details. And if we're talking about a general contractor with a bigger project, you're going to want to have milestones throughout that project that have the payments tied to those milestones. Never, 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 never pay the whole thing up front. Time and again, I see these posts in these very Facebook groups where people paid 50%, 75%, even 100% of the job up front on big jobs. And the vendor just did a day or two of work and walked away. Do not do that. If you're a little bit worried, one option you have, if you have the time and a truck perhaps, is source the materials yourself and then just pay labor upon completion or at those milestones. I see it far too often. People commit too much of their funds to this project in advance and get burned. Protect yourself. Insist. I am not going to do that. I want to see the milestones. Let's have a contract. Again, it's worth looking at those Facebook groups as well from time to time to see who the bad actors are. So sourcing, vetting, protecting. Talk to other investors, by the way. What do you do to vet your new contractors? What do you do then to protect yourself? I'm sure there are other ideas out there. If you have some for me, again, ask Andy at luinc.com. I would love to hear from you and get those ideas. Now you found that great contractor, that great vendor, that great insurance agent, whoever it is. Everybody likes to get more business. How do you maintain a great relationship? We're going to get to that part. First and foremost, though, I always pay timely. They send me an invoice. You know, some of these companies, they may have net 30 terms. That means you get the invoice today, it's due in 30 days. Forget about it. Yeah, from a cash flow perspective, yeah, I can wait to day 30 and then put it on my credit card and then pay that even later. No, don't do that. Pay on time. Pay day one. Get them those funds immediately. That's going to make them happy because they may have subcontractors or someone else they have to pay. Pay timely. Do not nickel and dime them to death either, going back to getting multiple bids. Look, if you like their work, if you like their work ethic, very important, if they're timely, if they deliver as promised, if they don't create headaches, don't necessarily chase the lowest dollar if you get multiple bids on that next job. You know, dance with who you come with. If these are great vendors and they come in a bit higher from time to time, I'm going to give them my business all day long because I know their work. I know it's good. I know I can trust them. I don't have to go vet and protect myself against somebody new. And back to what I said just a moment ago about getting new business. Very, very, very important. Refer that plumber. Right? We talked about the most important part of my sourcing is from my investor network. I ask people all the time about this or that vendor that I need. And they come to me as well. And when they do, I refer that plumber, that AC guy, that handyman, and I make sure to tell that fellow investor to let that plumber know that I sent them. This adds value to your relationship with that vendor. They appreciate it. And it adds value to you with respect to your investor network. And, you know, even from time to time, I may ask the vendor, I say, hey, you know, I gave your number to Joe when he was looking for a great plumber. Did he ever call you? Let them know you're thinking about them, referring them out. That helps maintain that relationship. They know they're on your mind. That's going to keep, by the way, for those HVAC guys or whoever else you got to get out there in emergency, they're going to pull you to the front of the queue when you need them in a hurry. So we've talked about sourcing, vetting, protecting yourself, and then maintaining the relationship. The last thing I want to do, I keep saying Macon, Georgia. Andy, why are you hung up on Macon, Georgia? Have you ever been there? I don't know if I've been there, maybe as a kid, but I've got just a real quick case study here. Let me grab my notes here. And hoey, this was a hot deal. This was back in April, and I missed it. I missed the email. Single family house in Macon, Georgia. 1950s build. We talked about old houses on yesterday's show. I love those. Great numbers. Here, I'm just going to get to the bottom line. Cash out of pocket, buying with hard money, $16,000. Equity capture, $15,000. That's almost 100% capital gain return right there. Cash flow per month, back in April, $500. That's a 38% cash on cash return. I would have loved to have contracted on this house. It's out of town. It's out of state. It's on the other coast. What am I going to do? Well, for one thing, this came from a Lifestyles Unlimited realty agent, and I already have that team at my side. First place I'm going to go is to that realtor and ask those guys for referrals. Vendors. All right, I want to do this. Let's do it. Let's contract. Who do I need? If I'm buying with hard money, that already tells me that it's going to need some work. It's going to take a renovation. Who do you know in that area? Who does that whole? This was a wholesale deal. I can tell you that. Who does that wholesaler know? Now, they may not have everybody I need, but it's a great place to start. And now I'm going to do what I just talked about. Because it is long distance, I'm going to start online. And I started on Facebook. And where are my notes here? Yeah, I just went out to, I just typed in Macon, Georgia, real estate investor in the search bar for groups. And here I have Real Estate Investors Macon, Georgia, 2,100 members. Looks like plenty of people. It's got a number of recent posts. So I even have friends in that group. Look at that. Macon Real Estate Investors Association, 1.1. So a little over 1,000 members. Handful of new posts. One of my friends is a member there. Look at that. Georgia Real Estate Investors is a bigger group, 27,000 members, a little bit bigger. Macon, by the way, first thing I did actually in preparing is I'm like, okay, Macon, where is it? It's about an hour and a quarter southeast of Atlanta, so not too far. I'm going to be able to go into Atlanta to find some of the people I need. How big is Macon? Well, I don't know. I did a little research there. It's about 150,000 people, not a small market. Good place to go. Facebook groups, a lot of opportunity. Went to meetup.com. Wasn't real happy with the meetups I see going on there. Going to pass on that. Going to start with that realtor. Going to start with those Facebook groups. I'm going to reach out to local wholesalers. You can do the same, but it does take some effort to build that team. And once you have, boy, you're going to be rocking and rolling. Wash, rinse, repeat, house after house after house. Stack those things up.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.